Good morning. It's great to be here today to present our technology. It's a little bit different to what we've just heard, so I hope there's still some interest from everyone. So we're talking about a technology that we have developed, and we're using it in qPCR for a test for Mycoplasma genitalium and looking at mutations associated with macrolide resistance. I'm also going to show you a study that we have done in Melbourne that has really changed the way we're treating the patients due to the alarming results. So just let me give you a bit of background about Speedx. We're a molecular diagnostics company located in Sydney, Australia. We are based on technology invented by me and my co-founder, and this technology we could spin out while we were working at Johnson & Johnson, and we could spin this out and form Speedx. The technology has been well validated. There's a company called Biocartis in Europe. They have a point-of-care platform for oncology markers, and in their three kits they detect over 98 mutations. This is powered by our qPCR technology, so we've really seen great application. We now have two CIVD products on the market, a Plex PCR for herpes and Resistance Plus for our M. genitalium. And I'll talk about these, the technologies behind these, and also more on the M. genitalium test. So now the technology, the qPCR is based, it's similar to the qPCRs that you're used to. You've got your primers, you've got a probe. Our probe is not related to the target at all. What we have is two DNA oligos that actually bind on the amplicons. During amplification, they form a DNA enzyme that can then cut the probe, producing a signal in real time. So what we have here is a really unique technology with features of high specificity. We have four binding events required to produce a signal. We also have a very robust series of signal probes that we can use together in multiplex assays, so it really amends itself for rapid assay development. So now I'm going to go through our new Plex Prime technology. So anyone familiar with mutation amplification would have probably encountered either probes specific to the mutations or primers specific to the mutations. So what we've actually done is inserted a region of sequence close to the mutation that actually increases the specificity of the primer for the mutation. We can also use this insert region to allow us to multiplex the mutations, and I'll show that on the next slide. So what we generate is distinctly different amplicons for each of the mutations, and we can then come back and detect this with our PlexION technology, producing a signal in real time. So what we have here is mutation-specific amplification and mutation-specific detection. So when it comes to mutations, especially in resistance, often they're clustered, and it's really difficult to combine these all in one test. We can actually do this with our Plex primers. So each of the primers match the mutation at the leading base, but then the insert sequence is actually different for each primer, and we can also stagger the back end of the primer. So we create distinctly different amplicons for each of the mutations, minimizing competition between primers for amplification. And we can then either detect this individually by having a separate probe for each mutation, or we can actually cluster the mutations and actually have one readout for any mutation that's present to provide more information in a test. So let's talk about M. genitalium. As CDC has noted, it is an emerging STI. And in the general population, roughly the incidence is between 1% to 3%, but really the exact burden of the disease is unknown because there just aren't tests out there for the disease, and people just it's not being tested for, basically. It has been highly associated with NGU and cervicitis, and both of these are often led with empiric treatment, which has led to high use of azithromycin, and what we're seeing is decreasing overall cure rates. So this resistance has been associated with mutations in the 23S rRNA gene. Macrolide resistance is a global problem. Even though it's not being tested for routinely here in America, there are incidences and high level of resistance all over the world. In Australia and New Zealand, we're seeing above 40%. In Europe, there is a big call for macrolide testing for MG and also for NGU, and their testing guidelines have actually now included the testing for MG and resistance. In the US, there are some studies now that have the information on resistance rates. Definitely more work needs to be done to find out those numbers. So why isn't MGen being tested for? Really, it is difficult to culture, and this has probably led to the biggest problem. And really, it's impractical to use this for a diagnostic tool. We do have molecular tests on the market now, and you are seeing a lot more people are uptaking these tests, which is fantastic. But they don't include any macrolide resistance. So methods for determining the resistance is often sequencing, and it's really not that viable as a routine diagnostic. There are some in-house tests, but these lack sensitivity. So what we really need is a rapid nucleic acid test for detection and resistance. So this is our Resistance Plus test. It's all in one well. We detect M-genitalium MGPA gene in channel one. In the second channel, we have combined the detection of all the five mutations because clinically it doesn't matter which mutation is present, just if one of them is present. So this can really provide a robust high-throughput test. The rapid results were less than an hour and a half in the qPCR, and we validated on many specimen types. It is a standard qPCR. There's nothing fancy. It actually works on all types of qPCR instruments, so there's nothing challenging about the test, even though the technology looks pretty interesting. But what we have been able to do is provide a resistance plus MG test for rapid, clinically relevant macrolide resistant information. So we have done a prospective study in Australia. This is on over 1,000 samples, which is a great number to use. The sample types have come from two areas: Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, which is the symptomatic male and female, with NGU, cervicitis, proctitis, PID, and also their partners. And also from Royal Women's Hospital, which is non-symptomatic females, which is really interesting. So these are females coming in for contraception bias, pregnancy, and other women's issues. The sample numbers, we have over 400 males and 700 females. The samples were taken from various swabs and also urine. So the M-genitalium detection results, our SpeedX test was compared to their in-house qPCR test, and this was performed in Sapir Tabrizi's lab. And the sensitivity was really high at 98.5%, and the specificity 100%, and you can see that the confidence intervals are really good. The prevalence of M-genitalium is 6%, which is generally higher than what we see in the normal population. I think I have to break this down to show the two populations we have here. So the male, which is generally MSM, is 10%, and the female is 3%. So it's roughly what you expect. So what is alarm is actually the mutation result. So here our SpeedX test was compared to Sanger sequencing. Sensitivity was 100%, specificity 96.2%. Mutation prevalence 63%, but again you can see from the numbers we have to break this down. So in the MSM population now, macrolide resistance is 80%. So this is really high and really alarming and quite scary for treatment in Australia. The female population being about 30% is probably about right. So with this test, we really have high clinical sensitivity and specificity. And how this is actually changing the treatment of patients in Australia. So say for symptomatic urethritis, generally you're given empiric treatment of azithromycin. In Australia, we test for chlamydia, gonorrhea and MG, but roughly it's about 3 weeks for test of cure or treatment failure. Then the second line treatment is given. This means that the spread of resistance MG, you know, can continue in the population. The lab, Superior's lab in Melbourne, has now switched to using our test up front. So they screen for chlamydia, gonorrhea and MG resistance. Within 2 days, they're actually calling back patients and changing the treatment. The clinicians are actually thanking them for now providing this information in a timely fashion, and it's really in line with removing MG from the community. So what we're seeing is improved patient outcome and reducing the spread of AMR. But as we know, the story doesn't end there. There is now emerging resistance to fluoroquinolones. Moxifloxacin is a second-line treatment, and you can see in our MSM population, it's already 15%. So these patients are ending almost untreatable. There's also, at the IUC conference last week in Budapest, Jorgen Jensen presented cases around Europe from 1% to 5%, so it's really on the increase. We now have a test for the PARSI mutation. So these are the mutations that are associated with the highest risk of treatment failure. And early clinical evaluation is showing the assay is performing well, so this test is still in testing, and we hope to have it ready by next year. So the preemptive testing of azithromycin and moxifloxacin should really preserve the moxifloxacin as a second-line treatment. So I'm meant to be talking about MG, but I have added some gonorrhea because we are a resistance company. Our focus is actually trying to help the resistance in the world, really. So we're working on gonorrhea resistance as well. We have a test for macrolides. We're working with David Wiley in Australia, and this is actually going to clinical testing pretty soon. But what we really want to do is offer a personalised treatment option. And I'm showing this because I'd really like, if anyone is sort of interested in this area, I know there's a gonorrhea talk coming later, we'd really like to talk to you about how this test could be used and what we could do to make it better. So we really want to be able to provide focused second-line treatment. This is just a range of tests. We are also focusing on other areas for resistance, and we are really trying to make it our goal. I just really want to acknowledge and thank everyone that works with us, because it's not possible to do this work without the help and support of the people who actually work with the patients and do all the testing. So Sapir and Katrina in Australia have been instrumental to the testing and the development of our MG tests. In the US, we're really working with Charlotte, Lisa and Pat to bring this test to the world, basically. Thank you.
I'm from Montreal. If you have an MGen positive sample and a resistance signal, how can you be sure it's an MGen resistant strain? Because could it be another bug harboring the mutation?
It is possible, but we've done all the specificity testing against everything you can possibly imagine, and we don't detect anything else. So we're pretty confident that it is M. genitalium.
Okay.
Hi, Lisa. That was really nice. This is Lisa Manhart from the University of Washington. I was actually really thrilled to see that you've also developed the quinolone resistance detection. And I'm wondering, is that a two-step process where you would first be testing for macrolide resistance and then have to run the sample again for quinolone resistance, or could they be done at the same time?
At this point in time, it will be a two-step process because both tests actually have five mutations in each. So we will test them together, but we don't want to lose out on sensitivity by combining so many tests. So it will come to, and they're at different stages of development. So there is a real need now for the azithromycin, and the moxifloxacin will come through later. So yeah, an ultimate goal, that would be amazing to have them together, but I'm not sure if that's going to be possible.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.